This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp and Blue Chew.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
Me, Rodeca, a fat, black, pansexual flight attendant who probably cries too much and uses humor to distract everyone from the fact that we're living in the darkest timeline.
Niggas, what was that, guys? And I remembered it too.
The highest of fives is happening.
Yes. We like it. We love to see it.
And I am Rob, one pansexual, agender, black feminist with a fatty.
Nigga tried to change it low key on the fucking fly. You felt bad a little bit.
I know. I said the black because I really forgot the last part. And I was like, all right, just keep going.
Did you say your pronouns?
They, them, daddy, please stop calling me lady.
Did you say your pronouns?
Yeah, we were all laughing, but yeah, she, her. Rodeca, she, her.
Akua?
Hi, I'm Akua.
You know what? I felt like it was going to be the shortest one that we've ever heard, and there it is. Do you have pronouns? Or do we just her. Is it just Akua?
No, just Akua. That's the pronoun.
My name is Akua. My pronouns are Akua. Ain't nothing wrong with it, bitch.
Yeah. No arguments there. All right. So on this here show, we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. In our group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is a group episode, and today we are talking about breakups, how to deal with them, and why they fucking suck. Mm-hmm. So this is the summer of breakups, apparently. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, we'll do a couple of short segments, and they are...
Bay of the Week.
We talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week.
We shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you some ideas on how to take care of yourselves.
Cute date idea of the week.
Where we give you some motherfucking cute date ideas, because you know, niggas need it out here.
Mm-hmm. And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
Mm-hmm. And if you would like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please book us to send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Ooh. Up first, Bay of the Week.
My Bay of the Week is a person named Randy Ford. Randy Ford is one of my followers. She is a trans feminine non-binary black person, right?
Love it.
Followed me like mad random. I don't know if she listened to the podcast or if she thought I was cute. But she was recently featured in the Seattle Times.
Wow.
So they did like this article, but it was an article that focused on queer people in Seattle and their perspectives of the queer community and being queer in Seattle.
Okay.
So hers specifically was like really touching. She spoke a lot about her identity, saying that identity means everything. I spent most of my life, like 19 years, as another identity that I wasn't fully comfortable with. Now I'm evolving. Identity is very important to me, and I want people to know exactly what they're dealing with. And so she said, identity means everything. It's a center of respect. I lived 19 years of my life being perceived as someone else. Mm. I feel it. Mm-hmm. I feel it.
Yeah.
My identities, black, queer, non-binary, pansexual, trans feminine, orisha, goddess, dance educator, daughter, auntie, aww, sister, all those play a huge part of my life. I'm not just one thing, I'm all those things. Aww. All those things there are constantly in contact with each other, and if you try and take away one of those, you're taking away all of me. I'm not here to coat check. I'm here to bring all of my luggage, all of my bag, all of my shoes.
That's very affirming.
And it's like it was so nice because it's important to remember that just because you're trans doesn't mean you can't take up space. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of like minimize yourself because it's easier to minimize yourself. It's easier to just conform to what everybody sees you as. It's very hard to say, these are my pronouns, this is who I am. But one thing that they pointed out in the beginning of the article is like, she'll tell you off rip, yo, my pronouns are she, her. Mm-hmm. Off rip. I don't have right now. I'm not comfortable to do that because I just be mad afraid. You feel me? But yeah. she just off rip will tell you that. So you have no question in your mind about who she is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's my babe of the week. And I'm just so grateful that she decided to follow me and I was able to find her.
Yay.
That's dope. That's it. That's dope as hell.
Shout out to Randy Baby.
Oh, let me, actually, I think it's Randy Baby 11.
Shout out to Randy Baby 11.
Because it's 10 other Randy Babies, but they're not the 11th one.
Don't get it confused.
Hoe of the week?
Hoe of the week. It's Give Her the PhD or Chris. That's Different Ty, Immensa, Facebook fan of the show, King himself, 90s Kind of World, and all of these are the people that I like was able to list, but all the fans who listened to the episode that I was on last, and like really personally were like, oh my God, I can't believe about your breakup, da 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 da. I talked to them. I got the chance to like kind of vent because obviously, well, we guys don't know yet, but shit has updated and other things have happened.
Talk about that later.
Later, yeah. But just, you guys don't have to reach out. And every time you do, it just touches me in a way that I really needed. And I really appreciated that. And they reached out afterwards just to check up on me to see how I was really doing. Nice. It was a lot of just like suggestions on things to do. Kind of inspired the whole episode, really, the topic. Because it was people who were just like, this is what I do. This is what how I've gotten over it. And this and forth. Because you don't think about how many people have gone through what you've gone through until you have that conversation. So these are people who listened and just took the time to actually speak to me. So that was great.
Yeah, those are all good people. I'm glad that
they are great people.
Helped you out. We also want to give a shout out to @itstariqali on Twitter as well as YouTube, because he shared us ragging on these niggas for not masturbating and washing their ass
because they don't
on Twitter.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that was the greatest thing, because I don't think people sometimes do share audio clips of us.
Yeah,
but that was the
it resonated with a lot
part.
Of people. It yeah. was extremely funny too.
This conversation stemmed from us not getting the dick appointment that I was supposed to get because I was sick. If you hear me in the last episode, I was so sick and my nose was stuffy. I was like, yo, I can't, like, we can't fuck. And this came from him going, well, I guess I have to masturbate even though
and
I don't
want
to.
And then he was mad about
me. He was mad. Like, he was tight. Like, oh, I guess I have to masturbate.
You don't
now.
Have to masturbate.
I'm like, nigga, masturbation is a treat for me.
If you gotta do it, why the fuck not?
Is this like, my burden?
Why are you so mad about it?
He should fucking invest in this goddamn male vibrator that we got from Love
Honey. Yeah, that I fucked. And it was lit. That should fuck my little baby clip.
He was mad.
You should get a fleshlight.
For real. That is the shape of
a vulva.
Own
hands now.
If God you don't forbid. Know, if you're a new listener, we are referring to the episode, It's Gay If You Masturbate, apparently.
Masturbation is gay, apparently.
Yeah, where we talk all about Rebecca's fun talking to these cis-hetero men out here, man.
They're the greatest.
It's a good time.
Very interesting motherfuckers. Thank you, Tariq Ali, for sharing that with your followers and... Hi, new followers. Also, shout out to Alicia Flowerchild. Did y'all see their art on Instagram? So Alicia Flowerchild is an Instagram user @AliciaFlowerchild, and she does digital art, and she did like a comic strip of receiving an accidental dick pic and what happens afterwards when niggas are like, oh shit, I didn't even, what is that?
Was that inspired by you?
Yeah.
Oh my
and she
God.
She tagged us on Instagram and it was really funny and cute. All right. So now last but not least, we have Ophelia, Jolana, W, and Quetz, who all became Patreons or up their Patreon pledge. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
All right, now we're going to go on to self-care tip of the week.
This is something that I have to work on. I'm the type of person where if there's a large group of people and everyone agrees on something, I will change my answer to be like, and that's just like a small version of it.
That's scientifically proven of humanity.
Yes.
I just won't say
anything. We need to fucking stop that. Like, it's scientific, it's also one of those things where if you can, majority rules, right? But even when it's something where like, I've had moments, and this is just me being, I'm a strong bitch, but this is just me being honest. Mm-hmm. There's been times where I'm having
it's
a conversation.
It's strong of you to even admit that.
It's tough because I'm like, damn, I want to be the coolest bitch. That was some fucking levels right there. I was like, I want to be the person who's like, yeah, no, I'm super strong will all the time. But like, I will talk to somebody. And if they're like, nah, I really don't think whatever. Eventually I'll be like, yeah, I see what you're saying. And I might even change my own opinion or change something that I don't agree with just to fit into that conversation or to fit into it. Mm-hmm. And we need to stop that shit. I need to stop that shit because it's something where in a group of friends, in a relationship, in family and familial relations, anything, when you edit yourself, you will become bitter. it happens. Mm. After a while, you'll be like, yo, and I did all this. They didn't even know. Because people aren't, they are themselves. They have their own opinions. They do what they got to do. And when you're editing yourself, you're doing it in a way to impress the people around you. But you don't realize how much it makes you angry later on when you're like, they didn't even notice that I did this and that I was going with the flow and I was doing it. Look at me being cool. But it's also like, you didn't have to do that. And if someone dare says like, well, you didn't have to do any of that stuff, you feel offended. So stop fucking like editing yourself, period.
Yeah. That's
be facts. Who you are, and the real people who fuck with you will stay with you no matter what opinion you have. Mm-hmm. Your shit could be left as fuck. I've had anime fucking arguments and they're like, I know I went back to anime, but it's
You like subs over dubs.
I do. And I do so like do subs I. over dubs.
Oh wait, no, I like dubs over
dubs. Dubs over subs. I like content. Subs over dubs.
Excuse me.
That's a very popular
opinion.
Can
we explain this? Because this niggas, when I saw the subs over dubs, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? Now that I hear you say it out loud in the anime. I
keep it light because it could be heavy
overdubbed,
shit.
Overdubbed, like when they a person speaking English, even though they're talking Japanese.
That's a popular opinion, though.
It is a popular
especially
opinion.
Especially amongst Japanophiles.
But it's true. But imagine being the one person in the conversation who's like, I like dubs over subs.
That's me.
That's you.
Yeah.
Stick with that shit. I'm keeping it light. Obviously, there are bigger things. There are things where it's like, you don't even want to go fucking eat at this place, right? You fucking hate Japanese food. You hate it.
Yeah.
But everyone is like, I love Japanese food. Don't be the nigga who's like, all right, I'm going to go. And you're miserable.
Yeah.
Because later on at night, you will be like, yo, I'm tight. That's why did so I even true. Do that? Don't fucking change yourself. And I've noticed that that's something that I do just because I'm just the type of person who just wants to be agreeable.
Mm.
And I don't know if I feel like that's just me because I don't like to fight. I don't like to argue. But it's also like later on, I'm like, damn, like I actually didn't really have that good of a time or I didn't do what I really wanted to do. And did I waste a day? Did I waste my time? And we have to stop. It's that the same rhetoric of taking up space, of knowing your identity and not pushing it on people, but being steadfast in
being
who
assertive.
You are. Exactly. Assertiveness goes a long way in how you feel about yourself at the end of the day.
Nah, that was really good. I agree wholeheartedly. Have you been editing yourself?
100%.
Around
not
me?
Here, not around y'all. That's what makes me...
Around me?
around me, how dare you?
How dare you?
I
this
find
is not
myself
a safe
even
space,
in...
You motherfucking bitch.
You fucking lying asshole.
I do find myself being quiet when otherwise I would want to say something because I don't... I'm not confident in my own opinion. I do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, oh, maybe I should research this before I start saying something.
Sometimes I feel like if I'm not well-versed enough in the subject, I'm not going to say anything because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
So to
about.
Me, it's not editing.
I think that
it's self-checking.
Though.
Like, bitch, you don't know. So you could be saying some wild shit. But around y'all, I feel like I can be...
Oh, sister.
I know.
That's I get it, like, though. Yeah. I definitely, my my last serious relationship, I edited myself as in... I don't like to hang out with people smoking like weed and like just like people chilling, being wild, unproductive, having wild, useless conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But with my ex, that's what he liked to do. Ooh. And he got very mad with me. Like, you don't like to do anything I like to do, even though the things that he liked to do weren't like nothing. Things at all. Like, yeah, it was just like
the,
it wasn't a
like
thing.
The nigga that wanted to take Samantha out, but said, I just like to smoke weed. Nigga,
yes,
that's not a thing.
But that's what he liked to do. And I was like, okay, I guess. And I would just hang out with him and his corny ass friends and watch him just smoke copious amounts of weed. And I don't smoke weed. I don't really do any drugs. So I was just like, I would do things that I didn't want to do because I wanted to be agreeable. Mm-hmm. I didn't want him to not want to hang out with me.
Yes.
So I did. But then it's like, the thing about it, it's like, niggas won't edit themselves for you.
And that's where that's where it's coming from. It's coming from exactly the same place. I'm thinking about all the things in my ex that I was like, oh, I'll just like, oh yeah, you can disappear for 24 hours. I'm a cool girl. Like that type of shit. I don't care. But meanwhile, I'm like, what
I
the
care
fuck?
A lot.
This is
I
fucking strange. Like, this is strange. But it's like, afterwards, you're thinking, this nigga never compromised in the shit that he felt strong about. And you realize, even if this person did stay, even if this person, which version of them do they like? Which version of me do they even like?
And if I'm not being me, it's not
exactly
authentically like me.
And the moments that you're being true to yourself and that person's just like, what are you doing? It makes you think like, okay, do you even know who the fuck I am?
Mm.
Facts.
That's what I'm saying, because you'll be confused, they'll be confused, and you don't want that. If you go in like, this is who I am, and that person's fucking with you, there's nothing else to it. You're just being yourself.
Yeah.
But when you have to be like, oh, what did I do the last time they did this? Was that, you know what I mean?
You be reaching back into shit. Like, when did they not yell at me for existing? Ooh. I'm sorry. That's shit. But for real, like, when did they not get mad at me for doing these things? Like, how what did I say to make them like me? Mm-hmm. What did I say to make them say I love you?
Exactly.
Or what did I say to make them want to do something nice for me? To make them want to hold my hand? To make them even want to touch me? What did I do to make them not want to do those things?
Yeah.
It's really like you fucking really going back in yourself and reprogramming yourself according to some fucking corny ass nigga. For no reason, because these niggas will do nothing to change themselves for you, even if it's changed themselves for the better, for their next partner, for their fucking family, for themselves. They will do nothing because they know that you will do everything to be comfortable with them.
Who? Look at Rod and Rob over there speaking a word.
We're in love. We're married. Yeah. We talked about this.
This is the Rob and Rod union show.
You guys
show.
Should have a spinoff.
We would just come to my house and accidentally get drunk.
Yeah.
And pet my dogs for the whole episode.
I think someone out there would watch that. All right, let's go on.
Cute date idea
of the week. Whose date idea is that?
So I put botanical botanical.
Botanical
gardens.
Trying to go to botanical gardens.
So botanical gardens. I've never been with a partner, but I've been on friend dates there.
Also very important.
Yes, those are super dope because it's like, oh, there's no expectation for anything. I could just exist.
And then the friend tries to fuck you in the end. That does happen.
Yeah, that does happen. Because every now story. The friend is heavily flirting with me. Like when we were barely talking, now I'm getting hard eyes and cutie this and cutie that. And it's like, no, I just wanted to do something nice with not myself. Because I was going to go regardless. But I've also went with my mother. We met in Florida.
Well, that's the only person you can go with who's not gonna.
Who's not gonna fuck
yo,
me?
I'm trying to fuck.
Thank you, mom. Please. Oh God, it's weird. But thank you for not. For
have being y'all read
person.
Oedipus?
No, I haven't, bitch. So what about it? I'm not editing myself. I'm not well read. Fuck you.
Actually, wilding right now. But yeah, and when I went with my mom, it was really like nice. But I didn't talk a lot because I can be very annoying when it comes to plants and shit like that. But also it's just very pretty. And then when I went recently, because I was in Florida, I went recently to Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, which is also very, very beautiful, very serene, very calming. And I think it's just a nice place to, because it doesn't, I only pay like $8, but I have a military discount. But I don't think it costs a lot.
So Norman Lager pays $45?
Nah. I think like it's somewhere between 15 and 20.
Yeah.
But I think it's somewhere nice to talk and get to know somebody. Because it's a lot of walking.
Mm.
And then it's a lot, like you can view and see and smell, but it's still a lot of walking. Yep. A lot of free time to get to know somebody. I think if you have somebody that you're very emotionally or intellectually interested in, that would be a good place to like really like get somebody to open up and just chill and talk and look at some flowers. You could also pick their brain to see how intelligent they are.
Okay.
As far as I think that, because I really like plants, but I have a degree in biology. But I also expect, for me personally, for my partner to also have an understanding of biology, because I don't want to have to teach them these things. So it's a nice way to see their range of.
So if they say you pee out of your vagina, you're like,
okay, okay. So I'm out. It was nice knowing you and listen to my podcast. It's the only time you're gonna hear from me. But you could really, some niggas be saying some wild shit. So like that's the place where if you're gonna hear some wild shit, niggas gonna be like, oh, so women ain't supposed to get periods because they're supposed to be drinking. Oh, that flower right there.
The alkaline diet.
Then your periods wouldn't happen. Periods are unnatural. Unnatural things. But yeah. And just botanical gardens and things like that. The zoo, even though the
museum
is fucking controversial. But if you're not into controversy, the zoo. Mm-hmm. Yes, museums.
That's your bag.
There's
that's
a lot
like
of
my go-to. Museums are great.
Museums.
I go to the museum.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, I can't say outside of New York City because it's the only place I've ever lived. But New York City has a lot of museums that are free to New Yorkers.
Yeah.
That are free on certain days. Mm-hmm. The zoo is free on, the Bronx Zoo specifically is free on Wednesdays. And I'm sure other zoos have other free days. Queens has a farm. There's a lot of this out.
Queens has a lot. lot. We have a farm and we have a fucking music. Sorry.
Nigga says, let me just go in real fast. But there's just a lot of things to do. I would say more than likely just in urban cities and metropolitan areas where you could just be outside and just talk to niggas. And then you can also take cute ass pictures. I took some good ass pictures. I asked the person I went with to bring her camera because my dumb ass ex-boyfriend lost my camera.
We want it back, nigga. If you're listening right now, we want it back.
Give me back $2,000. So I asked her to bring her camera and I took some really dope pictures. But I was like, if I was on a date where somebody actually liked, I would take mad cute ass pictures in front of fucking plants.
So on September 1st, we have our Sex Trivia Sundays Labor Day edition. If you have not been to Sex Trivia Sundays, what the fuck are you doing, my nigga? What the fuck are you
wasting your life?
That's a fact. Boring. It's very good. It's always sponsored by Babeland. It is held at Love Story, which is a bar on the border of Bushwick and Ridgewood, which is both Brooklyn and Queens. It's pub trivia meets a sexy Sunday meets a party. It's free. We have free giveaways. We have twerking. We have drink specials. We have music by Rob and or Rod. We have a sex expert. Her name is Nika. She's fucking smart as shit and she's gorgeous. It is a lovely ass time to play. You should register using the link in our bio. And if you want to just show up and watch, you can do that. September 1st at Love Story Bar at 5 p.m. And we end at 8 p.m. And we'll be playing some West Indian music. Because if you are from New York City, you know that Labor Day weekend is West Indian weekend.
Pay a ho.
If you love, love, love this show and appreciate the hard work that we do to bring it to you every week, we would so greatly appreciate it if you supported us monetarily and non-monetarily. To support us monetarily, we ask you to visit innerhouseuprising.com and choose the Pay a Ho Once or Pay a Ho Monthly options. Pay a Ho Once redirects you to our PayPal where you can drop off any one-time donation at any amount that you want as many times as you want. So that takes you to paypal.me/innerho. It's kind of like we're fuck buddies and we just call each other up when we want to satisfy that itch. If you choose the Pay a Ho Monthly option, you'll be redirected to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhouseuprising. On Patreon, you'll be given the option of setting a monthly recurring donation at any price that you want. And we'll return the favor with some monthly goodies, like we're in a committed relationship and we have some expectations for one another. So if you donate $2 or more a month, you get early and discounted access to Inner Ho Uprising events. And if you donate $5 or more a month, you get, fuck that, a regular Inner Ho Uprising newsletter curated by yours truly. It's fun, it's insightful, it's filled with offbeat stories about sex, love, and dating that you may have missed in the current drudgery of the news cycle. If you're strapped for cash or don't wish to support us monetarily, then there are other ways to help us out. You can leave an Apple Podcast review or a Stitcher review. You can comment on one of our episodes on SoundCloud or CastBox or Himalaya. You can tweet about us and tag us on Twitter or Instagram. You can reply to Twitter threads asking what your favorite podcasts are with our @. You can drop a link to your favorite Inner Ho Uprising episode in your group chat. You can tell your work best friend to give us a listen. Or you can walk down the street rocking some Inner Ho Uprising merchandise, which you can find on innerhouseuprising.com/merchandise. Now, let's get into this motherfucking show. Now we're going into our next segment, which is called
Fuck It.
Our topic of the day. And today, Rodeca is leading a very lovely session on breakups, why they suck, and how to
get the fuck over.
Yeah. I was going to say cope with them. I was trying to channel my inner.
No, Kua. Yeah. Get the fuck over them.
But don't. Ooh, she said, you can't.
Not when you break up with these cis hat niggas. You just gotta get the fuck over it. Uh-huh. Anybody else, you can cope with it. These niggas?
Man, fuck these niggas. I don't care about nothing but these niggas.
That's so funny to me. I don't even know why. Lil Wayne is amusing.
You're welcome, Sam. Thanks. I love making you laugh.
So y'all, I don't know if y'all know, but breakups fucking suck. They
no,
do.
We have
definitely
no idea.
Not the best
they
thing.
Do. But there's a reason for it. And as a backstory, the reason why we're talking about breakups. I don't know if you guys heard the episode that I was on, Masturbation is Gay, apparently. But I did go through a breakup. But after the episode aired and all that type of stuff, a lot of things kind of changed the scheme of what it was. Because I think in the episode, I was able to, like, laugh about it and be like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Like, you know, fuck this nigga. But it became something so much worse because I found that I was actually being cheated on. It's actually not the first time I've ever been cheated on, but this is the most traumatic breakup I've ever gone through because it was a complete blindside. I think probably almost throughout the entire duration of me being on the show, besides a couple of months, I was in a relationship with one person, and mm-hmm. that's what I talked about and all that type of stuff. And it turned out that person's an asshole.
Fuck you, nigga. We don't like you.
Oh, my God.
I found out that the person, Bryce, I can say his fucking
name. Yeah,
I
don't fuck
what's his last name, Bryce?
Even when we broke up the first time, I was really trying to be protective of him and, like, you know, da-da-da-da-da, mm-hmm. like, his personality and all that type of shit. I was always like,
because that's the person you love.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's really one of those things where I realize that that shit is directly affecting me and fuck this nigga's, like, reputation and all that type of stuff. Sad. Because you ruined your reputation stepping out and doing your bullshit. Turns out he was fucking his boss, so that's cool. I don't give a fuck about that. But it was like, when he wasn't with me, he was at work doing what he had to do, apparently.
We'll get more into that later.
Yes.
The full story.
In the reason why I'm even, like, prefacing this segment with that is because I'm currently going through it, and I've had people who reached out to me and talked to me about it and were like, you know, this is what I've gone through, but also asking for advice. What have you been doing? How have you been feeling? You know, and I realized that, like, maybe not as traumatic, hopefully not as traumatic, but a lot of people have expressed that it is as traumatic, breakups or things going on or things just not working the way they wanted to in the relationship, all that type of stuff. We've been there. How do we fucking get through it? Why do they fucking suck so much? If you didn't know, you are a brain in a fucking meat suit.
That's so funny. That's what you are. You're going to have a great TED Talk one day.
Could you imagine?
You're all really going to have great TED Talks one day. I'm so impressed with everyone on this podcast.
Your brain in a meat suit.
You're not even a real person.
You are not.
I mean, that's what a real person is.
That is what all of us are. Yeah. But that means that love is...
I'm going to change my Instagram bio right now.
We're all going to have the same bio. The problem, not the problem, the thing that I do when anytime I'm going through something, I really try and break it down to its, like, most basic form. Why is this happening? Why does this suck? What's happening? Mm-hmm. And for me, science has always been my best friend because that's just what we're living in. There's an explanation for almost, I'm kind of a nerd.
That's why you were nerding out with
me. Yeah, I was about to say, I was fucking impressed. I'm always impressed by whatever something is and why something is. So the reason why breakups suck is because the foundation of a breakup is losing love, losing a relationship, losing this chemical reaction that you have to one person, multiple people, whoever you're with. It's an attachment. And studies are being conducted on exactly how our love affects our brains, from exhilaration, ecstasy, and craving to irregular philosophical responses and obsessive patterns of thoughts. It can be argued that love is as addicting as illegal substances that we like to condemn. So it triggers the same parts in your brain that when you're having a certain drug, a certain reaction, you are in love.
Dopamine receptors.
Dopamine receptors, exactly. But we're so quick to, you know, be like, yeah, I'm falling in love and this, that, and the fourth, not realizing that it comes with so much attachment, so much brain activity that when we lose it, we don't think about how much we're putting into it until it's gone, basically. So breaking up is shitty because you are basically going through withdrawal. You're going through this terrible reaction in your brain where you're like, I'm literally in pain. A study in 2010 found that the same brain regions, the insula and anterior cingulate cortex, if you want to get specific, that's what it is, lit up when people who were shown pictures of the significant ex-partner and those who were essentially being burnt on their forearm.
Oh, shit.
It was the same exact reaction.
It hurts. It hurts.
It is pain. Your body is literally, and you think to yourself, the reason why I had to go through it is because I'm the person to rationalize out of something. You're being a big baby. You're doing this. There's a reason why, but it's literally scientific. Well, everyone who's gone through it is like, nah, I'm about to study this because this shit is crazy.
Yeah.
It is a physical pain.
That's such a good thing to say because I feel like when something like that happens, you're like, yo, I'm a real nigga. Exactly. Like, I shouldn't even feel bad. And then you think, like, how much, because, you know, I've been telling you, like, yo, this nigga's trash.
Exactly.
But obviously you feel a certain way about it.
It feels completely different.
Because your brain is just doing it.
Your brain is literally putting up a firewall, like, yo, I'm being attacked right now because the pain is that real. It is physical. It is equivalent to being lit
burnt
up,
on your arm, yeah.
being burnt alive. You're like, yo, wow. I'm in pain. Another study backed up this idea by showing that the brain releases opioids, which is the brain's natural painkillers, usually reserved for times of physical injury when people feel rejected by potential suitors.
Shit.
This study was particularly interesting as participants in the study were looking at people they have never even met before. They were shown a set of pictures and dating profiles of imaginary people and asked to state the ones that they liked. And then when they said who they liked, the researchers said that they did not have the feelings that were mutual. Like, basically, the person was rejecting
them. They didn't swipe you back.
Exactly. Yeah. They didn't swipe you back. And the imaginary suitor didn't like them back. And then the brain released opioids to kind of cope with the fact that they were being rejected.
It. Yeah, it's like, oh, that shit hurts. Your brain is like, nah, not today. And not today.
What's interesting is that the participants knew that it wasn't a real rejection. They went into it knowing. It wasn't a blind study.
But that shit hurts.
It hurts even when you don't.
Niggas don't
even
want
when you know
me.
The person doesn't exist. Even if you know, as soon as they found out that this person wasn't interested, the brain released these painkillers as though they were being physically injured. So it is a very real reaction that you're having. And then according to an Inverse article that is titled
I used to work at Inverse, bro, and I know a very lovely writer worked there. Shout out to the science team at Inverse.
Okay. Love is an actual addiction that can be treated, says scientists. That's the name of the article. And an fMRI, or a functional magnetic resonance imaging, or functional MRI, measures the brain activity by detecting changes associated with blood flow. So they use fMRIs to study this, and the results show that looking at a romantic rejector and cocaine craving have several neural correlates in common.
Mm-hmm.
The findings are consistent with the hypothesis that romantic rejection is a specific form of addiction. The perspective that rejection and love involve subcortical reward in the gain-loss systems critical to survival helps explain why feelings and behaviors related to romantic rejection are difficult to control, and lends insight to high cross-cultural rates of stalking, homicide, suicide, and clinical depression associated with rejection in love.
So it's the clinical depression in not men and the stalking, homicide, and suicide in men. That's what Sarah forgot to write in the article.
Yes.
Shout out to Sarah. She's a good writer.
But it's real, y'all. That's what all of this is to say. They're studying
it. That's why I burnt down all of those pictures of my ex that one time.
Because those moments where you're like, holy shit, I can't breathe. Holy shit, like, what the fuck? It's true.
Nobody told me that.
Nobody knew that.
Thank you for not saying that. I would have been like, oh shit, Sam. This is getting weird.
You're crazy.
It's not excusable, obviously, for the shit that they're saying.
When, like, you inflict it on other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it does gain insight into why those things even start.
It's also good to, like, I'm glad that you're doing this, because it's good to know what's behind it so that you don't take that to other people. Because when I was burning those pictures of me and him, I was like, oh shit, this is like some wild shit. I could burn my house down right now. But so I didn't.
I don't care.
We're here.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. But I didn't, like, I did that specifically so that I wouldn't take it to other people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You took it into your own hands, and you did what you had to do to make you feel better.
Everything counts.
But that's the type of the reason why, is because I will sit here and be like, why do I feel this way? Like, you know that it's something, and obviously you can rationalize it, but I'm the person who's just like, I know I'm a brain. Why is it
this
hurting
is the
me
sequel
so
to Limerence,
much?
Bro?
Yo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break to talk about our mental health. Now, I know if you've ever experienced the end of a relationship, no matter the circumstances, it can really get you down, or in your bag, as the kids say. And when something like that is on your mind, it can become overwhelming to the point where other aspects of your life begin to suffer. This can apply to the trauma of a breakup, or something like the loss of a job, the death of a loved one, so on and so forth. This is where one of my favorite services, BetterHelp, comes in. BetterHelp will assess your needs, like it did mine, and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line or self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. You can log into your account at any time and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. I, like Rodeca, my other host, and I'm sure many of you have gone through breakups, heartbreak, grief, as well as a slew of other shit that makes me sad, anxious, confused, and overwhelmed. We're all humans and we all go through shit, right? But there's nothing I love more than talking to my BetterHelp counselor about my shit. after therapy, I literally feel like my brain has had a shower, or like my soul has had like a little massage or something like that. It really helps when you're going through things to talk about them with someone who, one, won't judge you, and two, who's there to actually help you process your thoughts and feelings. So with BetterHelp, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. So like just this past Monday, I was sitting at my computer getting some work done. I stopped down, took my laptop over to the living room, signed into BetterHelp, and voila, I'm in my therapy session. It literally doesn't get any easier than that. So BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, and so do all of us here at Inner Ho Uprising. So because of that, we have a very special offer for Inner Ho Uprising listeners, and y'all can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. Once more, that's betterhelp.com/IHU. That's better HELP, and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Now let's get back to the show.
You know, now that we know all this shit, we know that a lot of it is external, a lot of it is internal. There's nothing that we could do. The bad news is there's nothing that niggas can do. You gotta process that shit. It's just because we know that it's gonna happen, and sometimes you can brush it off, but you'll feel things, you know what I mean? And it comes in stages. So breakups.
Before you get into that, I would like to argue that there is something to do. We can process it, because niggas can be hurt by a breakup their entire life.
Yeah.
It's just like a process as opposed to a one-to-one.
Can or do these niggas really be hurt by a breakup their entire life?
No, that's what I'm saying. Some people are, but we can choose to process it, but it's just a process that we have to go through.
That's true. I didn't mean it that we can choose to process. What I mean is when shit happens, other shit will come as a consequence.
Right. Yes,
and now that we
true.
Know it's
that's
not something that we can just skip.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. what I meant.
Yeah.
It comes in stages. So the stages of a breakup is very similar to the stages
so
of
real.
Grief. So stage one is shock, which is, what the fuck is happening?
Are you joking?
Yeah. How is this happening? What is happening? Oh my God. Even if you're the person to initiate the breakup, it's just like, you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know what's happening. Oh my God, I feel this way. Shock. Stage two is denial. This is the stage where you literally refuse that to believe that anything is happening. No, we're not breaking up. This is not happening. You might beg. You might do this. I know. I'm sorry, Rob. I did not mean to do this, because trust me, this is just how I've
like
gone through it.
It's like getting stabbed in the chest listening to this, which is wild.
Stage three is anger. So some people move this stage around, but honestly, all the stages are interchangeable. We'll get into that later. Anger can be anger at yourself. It can be anger at your ex. It can be anger at the circumstances, the timeline, the this, the that. What's happening? Anger. Bargaining is stage four. This is the most vulnerable of the stages, because this is when you start rationalizing everything. This is usually when people get back together, because they think this time things can be different. Stage five is depression. Depression, you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you're not
now
happy.
Now this hits close to
this
home.
Is hitting different, bitch.
This is what
nobody told me that was the same.
This bitch is dragging us, bro.
Like, is this personal? She said, I'm gonna read you hoes.
This is personal. This is what I, this is why when Rob was like, you have mad notes, this is me in my house going, yes, these are the stages, because I'm in them. I'm fucking crying as I'm writing depression. Like, I'm telling you, I was there. I don't know. It's just depression feels like you will die, in a sense. Stage six is initial acceptance. The pain is subsiding. You're starting to realize that maybe the breakup makes sense.
So you do the nay-nay.
Maybe you can do this. Maybe it's for the best. Maybe it, hey, let's do it. Hey, you know? And then stage seven is hope. You begin to move on. You can eat food. You believe in love again. You believe in life again. These things are not perfect, but at the end of the day, you are able to rise above the grief. So the stages are not linear at all. They say one to seven, but they're not. They're, in fact, they can come in waves. That's what we've been talking about. They come in waves.
They come in waves for the rest of your life.
It could be tsunamis. It could be tornadoes. It could be any fucking natural disaster that is sudden and very absolute. That is what these stages can come
violent,
in.
Yeah.
And you can feel them all at once or nothing at all for a very long while until that shit smacks you again. Mm-hmm. There is no manual about how it happens, and there is no exact timing. Some people spend years years going through the stages. That was the hard part because I read it and I think one of the things I kept Googling the most was how long will it take?
Yeah, when is this gonna be over?
I was reading it and there were people who were like, I broke up with my ex 10 years ago and I'm still going through it. So there is no timeline. The darkest timeline, sure, but there is no timeline. And then when something comes that makes it even more traumatic. So there are things like breakups where you sit down and it's a mutual thing. There are breakups that happen suddenly, but you're able to at least see why. But then there are other things like betrayals, like cheating. And that's why I kind of said before why it came for me where I had to reprocess it because I felt
it's kind of like you got broken up with again. Yeah. Exactly. Because you had to reprocess the circumstances under which it happened.
Because when it initially happened, I was able to be like, oh, you know, things weren't perfect, but I really resolved it by saying, all right, he gave up. Like, fuck this nigga. Like, if you don't want to fight it out, then we're good. Mm-hmm. But then I found out about the cheating thing and I realized that cheating brings a whole new level of trauma that you don't expect. It's betrayal. Yeah. It's everything. It's mm-hmm. a blindsight and it makes you reevaluate yourself. It makes you reevaluate the situation. It makes you reevaluate your fucking existence, my nigga. But cheating adds an extra element of betrayal that scars worse than an easy split, or not even easy, but something that is cordial and amicable. It's not like that. It's completely different. It can be hard to digest because the stages can be extended and deepened due to the breaking of trust. What's most important is to remember is that cheating is never, ever your fault. I need you, if you're listening to this now and you've been through it, I need you to say it out loud. Take a minute and say, cheating is never, ever your fault. You can think about all the ways that you could have, you know, maybe massaged them a little more. Maybe you should have picked up the phone that one time. Maybe you should, all the ways. But at the end of the day, it's still not your fault. It's not. It doesn't matter because it shows that the person was too afraid to either communicate exactly what they wanted, they didn't have the words for it, or they cared so little about you and your feelings that they chose to be selfish. That's personal. It has nothing to do with you. Cheating can happen for a number of reasons. Maybe the person felt undesirable, wanted a break from reality, looking for something exciting. You can rationalize all the reasons why they did it. But at the bottom line, matter. Those reasons have nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. All of those reasons can be and probably will be justified by the cheater. You'll hear them if you get the chance to talk to them. And they will find ways to make it seem like it was okay because of this, that, and the fourth. It's not okay. It'll never be okay. Leaving is always a fucking option. Mm. Communicating your feelings is always a fucking option. And they chose not to do that. Instead, they took the quote unquote easy way. Could be the easy way to some people because you're already doing something and you're getting whatever you want by leaving the other person in the dust. But in no way is that a reflection of the person being cheated on. I need y'all to remember that. All right. So that's the bad news. The bad news is stages. They suck. We don't know when they end. But the good news is there are ways to help cope with the process and remember that it's okay to be hurt. Mm. But also you don't have to sit there infinitely with those feelings. You can do other things to help. They are scientifically proven to just kind of increase that dopamine output and just kind of get your, remember, your brain in a bodysuit, you can trick it, you can make it work, you know what I mean? So a relationship can be so ingrained in your identity that afterwards you feel like you have to build and get to know yourself all over again. But you can get to know yourself all over again by surrounding yourself with loved ones. Being around your niggas will help release endorphins and feel good emotions, which is exactly what you need right now. You can trick it and make it that, you know, being around your people, even though you might not even have been hanging out with them that much that time or anything like that, who knows what you were doing at the time, being around certain people that remind you of when things were good, when things were easy, that will help trigger these emotions, trigger these hormones, and make you feel a little better, even for a little bit. If you don't have people in your life that you feel like you can talk to, you can also write it down. Journaling your emotions, it will help. You can scratch out, doodle, tear up the page, scribble, use all caps.
Burn it.
It doesn't even have to, you can burn it for sure. You don't even have to keep it. It doesn't even have to make sense. Whatever is a way to get it out, that's always helpful. Remember to be gentle with yourself. You don't have to give your timeline of, okay, I will be better by January 1st because that's when this party's happening and I need to be able to when you do stuff like that, you're limiting yourself and you're putting a rush on processing, and that's just not realistic. And you can also feel even worse because of the fact that you're like, I should be stronger than this. I should be able to pick it back up by my birthday, and I don't want them to ruin it. But sometimes it's not timely. For better or for worse, you are human. So you're going to feel the pain, and you're allowed to take the time to process this like you would a fucking breaking your arm. If you're breaking your arm, you're not saying, I'm going to get this arm better by my birthday. Your arm's broken. You give it the time that it needs to heal. Yeah. And even though it's not necessarily a physical pain, it'll feel like it, but it's not a physical pain. You need to nurse it back to health in the time that it needs, just like you would any physical, a breakup.
A breakup is a physical pain.
It is, but physically. But we tend to, I mean, me personally, I don't know about we, but a lot of people tend to kind of dismiss it because you can't see it, because it's not tangible. Okay. Exactly. You think it's 100% a physical pain. That's what I've been talking about this whole time. But because you're not in a sling, because you're not like being quote unquote incapacitated, even though at work it could be all you think about it. It really is incapacitating you because you can't see it and other people can't see it. You try and make excuses for it, but you're allowed to process it like you would any other pain. Get active. So for this, a lot of people think like, I'm gonna go work out. You don't have to work out. This could be more than one thing. It could be getting up for a walk, cleaning your room, trying a new hobby, doing more of what you love, finishing a crossword puzzle, anything that serves as a beneficial distractive. Getting active in terms of just making your brain do something other than process just this all day. Distract yourself. And notice self-criticism. So treat yourself. This is the best advice I've gotten so far, is treat yourself like you would your friend. If your friend is sitting in that room crying next to you, you're not about to just look at your friend and be like, all right, bitch, just do what you gotta do. You're doing everything you can to get this person to stop crying, to feel better, to do all this type of stuff. And you should be treating yourself the same way you would that friend in the room.
Yeah,
you should be comforting yourself. I was holding myself, giving myself a hug, saying like, you'll be okay. Like, I was talking to myself because you need to be able to be soft and caress and just like baby yourself like you would any friend who's coming to you for help. Not sitting here saying, girl, it's your fault, or man, it's your fault, anything like that. You shouldn't be beating yourself up worse, because that doesn't help anything. We all have moments where we want to blame ourselves for the situation. It's natural. But if you're in the presence of your friend, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't let them sit there and wallow in that. Focus on your breathing and practice self-care. If you know ways to calm yourself down, like if you suffer from anxiety, if you suffer from anything that you would normally have to like talk yourself out of in certain techniques, some people need to rub their ears, some people need to breathe in bags, some people need to just count to 10, anything that can help you talk yourself down from that ledge, that's something that you should definitely focus on. Purge yourself from your ex. So burn they shit. Throw they shit out. Get rid of all of it.
Change their name in your mind.
Change their name in the phone.
Wait, no. Delete.
Block them. Delete their
numbers. Delete the text messages. Delete. There's no trace. I'm not going to come upon everything. I changed my towels.
I changed
my sheets.
There you go.
I was like, I don't want to find a hair.
That's it.
This man.
Yeah.
I even shaved my dog because he touched my dog.
Purge. And all of those things help, because you're cleansing yourself from any reminders, anything that you can hold on to and cling to. I deleted all the text messages because I'm the type of person who reads things over and over again and looks for nuances that may not even exist just to try and make myself feel better. So the first thing I did was delete all of them, because I knew. And even then, now I'm losing the memory of those text messages because I can't reinforce that. And you don't need to reinforce anything negative at all. Set boundaries. If you know you're not ready to do certain things, don't do them. Take the day off, or don't go to that concert you plan to go to if it'll just make you feel worse. There's no need to perform for anyone or anything. You don't need to do anything. Just process in your own time. And the most controversial and last one is get a rebound. It's get a rebound.
Nah.
So I know, but studies show, and I know it seems bad, that shown that rebounding can actually speed up the healing process by increasing confidence and in your desirability and providing a distraction. Now, what I'm not saying is use the other person as a band-aid. You're not supposed to be using other people. But if you feel like you're ready and you're like, I just want to get out there and fuck some people or whatever, if you feel like confidently and not using it as a, because I tried it. So this is two examples. Obviously, some people just jump into something and it can last. Me, I tried to go out there and fuck another nigga. I was like, I could do it because, bitch, you bad. I literally cried right after the dick appointment. I don't remember it. I don't remember anything that was happening because I was not ready. And that was me not self-checking myself. Yeah. It was good, but I don't remember any specifics. He was trying to talk to me about afterwards, like, what was your favorite part? And I was like, I genuinely don't remember. It was just a blur of, like, wow, I'm really sad right now. Like, it was just in my feelings. So if you're in that stage, 100% no. But we like to condemn rebound, and it's true because you shouldn't be, if you're not even able to identify who you are or anything like that, you shouldn't be jumping into something else because then you're fucking up another person's life, all that type of stuff. But studies have shown that it increases the, if it increases your desirability and makes you feel better, it does help you forget the other person faster.
I want to edit that.
Okay.
To say not get a rebound, but put yourself in bountiful experiences. So okay. If you go out and you're fine, if you like BRT, for example, was a space, not that I've been through a breakup, but was a space to remind me that I was desirable, that I was attractive, yeah, that other niggas are checking for me. And I paid all those niggas dust. So like, so to put yourself in that situation without entangling yourself with other people, because what you can do is think that you're ready and then find yourself in this dick appointment where you disassociate and you're not even there and you're in your feelings, you're in your bag. You're just like, oh, I thought you don't want to put yourself in that emotional space.
Yeah.
But if you can find a way to safely reignite the desire of other people for you, have that banter, have that flirting. Yes. I don't want to call that a rebound.
I did read it, and that's what it said. I thought it was surprising too.
People.
Yeah, true. Facts.
I don't believe anything.
But that's, I do have a link to it, so y'all can read that too. Because I just want it. I don't want it to come from any other place but science and whatever they say. But yeah, but I don't want to fucking. I mean, I don't want to do it. But at the same time, if it does and it does work for some people, and you're just feeling better because you're fucking a whole bunch of people, who am I to say anything?
Yeah, who are we to say, you know, you shouldn't be fucking or whatever, but I want people to go in carefully.
Exactly. 100%. I also agree. That was my little asterisk. And I was like, don't fucking
honestly,
be an asshole.
You know, if you know that you just fucking niggas to feel desirable, let niggas know these niggas don't care.
Exactly.
Fucking cishet men. Exactly. They don't fuck, you know, but be honest.
They don't care, but they still will think that you want a relationship with them.
They think you want a relationship no matter what you do.
You could just walk by.
Because you're a femme.
That bitch wants
and
me.
And you want marriage and a dog. So they're going to think you
niggas
want a relationship.
Will really say, I want to be married and have a dog, but think that you want that.
So the one key takeaway, it's done. I'm sorry if anyone felt worse after this. That's not my intention. It was 100% to get, as a guy, to get through it, because these are the things that helped me. I'm able to get through this recording without fucking sobbing like in a person, anyone with fucking emotions, like I have been doing, well, was doing for like a whole week and a half straight, because of the processing, because of realizing that there's nothing wrong, there's nothing inherently wrong, there's nothing terrible about processing hurt, you know what I mean? And that's what I had to do. So just keep your head up, know that there's no rush on forgiveness, forgiving that person, there's no rush on that, if ever, on acceptance, on grieving, on anger, there's no rush. And the good news is, once you process it, it's more likely that you'll come out stronger and wiser and better and just doing the damn fucking thing. No,
I want an add step to that.
Yeah,
go to therapy.
That's always
cool, trying to get some dollars, nigga.
You better do it. You better take your ass to therapy.
But go to therapy, because a lot of this sounds like independent steps that you have to do on your own. And you never have to do anything of this on your own. You know, you can go get professional help for someone who can hold this emotional space for you and help you walk through this journey and not, you know, you can also share a lot of this emotional labor with friends and loved ones if they're ready and able. But if you don't have that kind of support, you don't have to go through this alone. You can always see a professional about it.
And for 10% off your first session of therapy, you can visit betterhelp.com/IHU. Hey man, it's there. And honestly,
it's a good
service.
It's a good service. 10% off, because niggas know.
Yeah.
But use your insurance, find a free clinic, go to your college, your local university, whatever
you
have
to
do.
Options. That's a fact. And now a word from our favorite mental health counselor / sexually fluid person / great friend / sexy voice motherfucker, Akua.
Let's talk about sex, baby. More specifically, how people with penises can increase their performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. I like to say it's not the size of the boat, but the motion of the ocean and how long you can keep things rocking. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code IHU. You just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code IHU to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring this episode. Enjoy.
All right. Thank you for that, Akua. And now let's get back into the show. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She loves a party on the weekend. She loves a party on the weekend. All right. We're going to head into our next segment now. It is called
Fuck Me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
Wasn't
and
I supposed to sing?
What are you
fuck
supposed to
me.
Nah, we had to. All right. Do you want to go first, Rodeca? Or
sure, so that we can like eventually
wrap it up.
Not be sad.
Okay.
So
I don't know if that's gonna happen, but
I don't know.
Life is sad. So. Life is happy, but it's also
floating
sad.
Rock.
Yeah. It's good, but it's bad. You know.
So me, I guess. So to kind of backtrack a little bit. I was talking about being broken up with and how weird it was that I just got a text message. I got a text message around mid-July. Basically, I was having a really shitty day and I was reaching out to my then boyfriend and was saying like, yo, like this sucks, like da-da-da-da, getting left on red. And I had messaged him something along the lines of, all right, I'm just going to pretend like you're not my boyfriend and the only person that I'm really supposed to be able to rely on right now because it makes it easier for me to process this. So a couple of hours later, I got this message. Really, at the time, I thought it was heartfelt and like, wow, introspective. Look at him analyzing himself.
He's a chump.
Even though every day I'm literally thinking about the things that I say to him. And other, but I gave so much accolades to this one message where it was like, you deserve better. You're a goddess and I love you and I'm in love with you, but I can't. I'm going through so much stress right now and I'm sorry I can't be there for you. I think we'd be better off as friends. Da-da-da-da. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I got this very... all in all, self-aware text message where it was kind of like a summation of, I know I haven't been there for you.
Self-aware, and, but not.
But not. In the moment, I 100% thought, wow, like, you know what? You're aware of the fact that you haven't been there for me, that you're not putting up your end of the bargain, and you're saying you're gracefully bowing out of this thing that we have going on, this relationship. Yeah. So to me, it was just like, as much as this fucking sucks, What else is there to talk about? What else is there to even do? It's mm-hmm. done. You said it. You said you can't do it, so it is what it is. Fast forward to 2 weeks later, and I am on my way from a flight. Flying in and of itself, I don't think I even talked about it, has been very tricky for me because I was very, very afraid of flying. And just saying like, yo, this shit sucks. Like, this is anxiety inducing. I'm freaking out. I'm supposed to be the person. But during the time, especially like about a month ago, even 2 months ago, like it was very stressful. So I'm coming off this flight, not exactly having the best time. And I get a message, which is basically like, hey, you know, I just wanted you to know, even though you and Bryce are friends, which was funny to me, that you guys are, you and Bryce are friends, and like, I know this is probably really far behind you and you don't really care anymore, but I think everyone deserves closure. So I'm just letting you know that me and him have been together since June. It's July, probably. No, it's August 10th. Around there, I don't even remember. August, early August. When I got this. So we've been together since June. Just wanted you to know, because I found out from him that he didn't really tell you the reason why you guys broke up. He just kind of like blocked, and the reason he had blocked me at this point, and the reason why he blocked me, you, is because we decided as a couple that we want to let go of everybody in the past and, you know, move on and make sure. And I was like, oh, okay, what the fuck is going on? So,
and for context, like, if no one has ever listened to the show in their life, you and Bryce were dating up until...
We were dating up until the middle of July.
And you got back together in...
We got back together in November. No. We broke up in November. We got back together in April, May, mm-hmm. like around there. Mm-hmm. We were still... We had been sleeping with each other again since around March, mm-hmm. a little bit after March. Mm-hmm. So... He can, for more context, he actually came back and was very, after we had broken up, and I was like, fuck that, I'm gonna just do whatever.
Because you broke up with him.
Yeah, because I broke up with him because in November, because of the fact that, like, he was unsupportive. We were both, every time there was some type of stressful information, like, in stressful situation, he wasn't there for me. And I was like, if there's any factor that I can control right now, it's this relationship. Mm-hmm. So I need to alleviate that stress. And he came back on some, like, knight in shining armor mm-hmm. shit, fucking doing all the right things and hitting every right note, saying all the right stuff. I'm trying to get married. Let's do this. Looking at rings, looking at apartments. We were actually getting an apartment together. We were in a conversation with my sister, who I live with, and her girlfriend, sending each other apartments. It was going to be the four of us. All of that was happening. And we had went on a trip right before we broke up. And on the trip, I kept asking him, oh my God, I can't even remember how many times I asked him. I could just tell he was distracted by something. And I kept saying, like, if there was something wrong, you would tell me. Like, if something's good, like, he was like, I'm good. But I can see, I felt it. So in the message, she was like, I know you guys just went on a friend trip in Denver. And on that trip, he was supposed to decide.
Friend trip?
Yeah. He was like, on that trip, he was supposed to decide whether or not he wanted to remain your friend or not. And when he came back, he decided 100% I didn't influence him in any way. 100% that he just didn't want to be in friends anymore. He wanted to focus on us. And that's why he blocked you on everything after you guys came back. After we came back was when I got the breakup text message. So, yeah.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Did you, when you told her that, like, nah, like, we were
100%.
Like, what'd she say?
She acted as if she was blindsided by it, but she was also like, oh, that's crazy.
Mostly, do you know she knew, right?
Oh, 100%.
What the fuck is a friend trip?
No. I knew she knew. I knew that.
Like, who goes on those?
Like, her telling me.
This is pathetic.
Her telling me about them being together was half an ego trip for herself. Half of exactly, like, yes. I'm going to stab you in the side.
Yeah,
and this is the last
so closure. Happy that you're saying bitch, that. I'm so happy closure? That you know this.
100%.
This ain't my closure.
Half
who's
that.
Closure?
And she's half, just fucking and shoving her dick in your face like, yo, yeah. This is my nigga now.
I got your man a chump. You can't do anything about
don't
it.
Don't nobody want him. That's nobody wants your nigga.
It was half.
That nigga's for everybody.
That nigga's not a nigga.
That nigga's nobody.
He came back to this after I left it. What the fuck do you mean?
But that's a big fact. Nobody forced that nigga to go to Detroit.
That's it's Denver.
On your friend trip.
It was
said Detroit.
Detroit.
Was it
Denver? You need to go.
Denver, whatever.
when she messaged me, in the moment I was just like, I wasn't grateful. I'm not gonna spaz on her because at the end of the day,
he gets all of the work, but I'm just saying she's pathetic.
Yeah, it was half her, like, trying to do that last, like, I want to be the one to let her know, I got your nigga now, right? Mm-hmm. And it was also, I think a small percentage of it, because she had mentioned that something happened to her in the past, I think a small percentage of it was, I'm going to let her know so that she don't keep holding on to this nigga because he's mine now, basically.
She got to let go.
Regardless of the reasons, I would not have known the truth had she not told me. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, all right, you told me.
No, you would have found out.
I would have, no, I don't know, because the only reason why she posted all that shit was immediately after after I had said, I had said to her, I was like, so does he post you? Because that was the one thing too. I never got posted on his fucking social media.
And this nigga who
said,
never posts anything a day in his fucking life decides has all to, these stories up with her.
The premiere happened when he was just like, and right after I fucking got off the phone.
But when we talk about fucking emojis and bios, he put a heart and a fucking lock in the emoji showing that they're together.
So they're in a committed and loving relationship because amazing. Of that heart and lock. More than I ever got, to be honest. So at the
that's
end of the day,
she
kudos to her.
Begged for it though.
She probably took his phone.
She did. It, yeah.
I looked at all of his stories. Everything was from her holding the camera angle. I could see her arm in all the stories.
She put on his fucking Facebook, XOXO, I love you, your girlfriend, and posted a picture of them. It's
no.
her.
We're 12, bro. Yeah. This girl, is middle school.
Who, oh my God.
It's and like, on if you, her if Facebook is Bryce with a heart. Like, it's so. I thought you, I was in 2000.
Look, are we going to go to the tattoo that she has of his?
Yeah, let's go.
I don't know if it's pathetic. I don't know if it's real or not, but I did at one point in time that there was a posted. No, she. But that's the thing. Like, I'm not there. It looks like it's a fucking tattoo from what I can see.
It's a tattoo. Even if somebody
wrote it on her or some shit like that,
that's
it's
so
like,
pathetic. Ain't nobody writing no man's name on their body.
I am in my late 20s.
Not even fucking sharp.
We're fucking adults. This nigga's turning early 20s. Turning 28 at the same time. Like, we're almost fucking 30, my nigga. What are we doing here?
Being
what are
pathetic.
We doing here? So all of this is happening, right? She's messaging me. She's doing all this type of shit. I'm like sitting here like the only thing I can focus on is what the fuck is actually happening right now. So I'm telling her like, yo, I don't know what bullshit you think it is, but we were not friends, this, that, and the fourth. Call me. That's what I said. I said, call me. Like, if you like, put him on the fucking phone and call me. Be in the car or whatever space it is, and we'll have this conversation. So she ends up calling me with him in the car. I don't even know why, but I got on the phone with him. The first thing I hear is hello. I was like, hello, like, you know,
let's chat.
The first thing that comes out of his mouth, okay, is, oh, do you remember that conversation that you was having with your best friend about sex toys, right?
I'm disgusted.
So I was having a conversation with my best friend about sex toys. Anybody who, niggas, strangers know that I come fast because of this fucking show. Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about sex toys and basically saying like, yo, you would really come fast off sex toys and that shit would be crazy. That's probably like a BDSM type of thing where it's a dominance, da 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 da, whatever. We're having this conversation. He took it, I don't fucking know. Maybe he took it as me and him were using sex toys. I don't know, but he tried to use this most basic conversation.
He wants to manipulate
and that was the first thing he said. And then he was like, oh, didn't you lay in the same bed as him? I was like, first of all, no, but in my head I'm saying, is this your tactic?
You
were waiting to get
on
the phone with me so that you can try and throw the cards that you have.
Pathetic.
And this is what you had. This is the equivalent of you being not even fucking telling me, not being man enough to sit me down and be like, yo, not even breaking up to with me in person. This is the equivalent. This is what you're trying to do. And I said, you really think I'm fucking stupid? Like, you really
take
think I'm stupid? Really?
For full.
Like, and it was just this conversation where the entirety of the conversation was this, you had to know this was coming, basically. Like, oh, you thought we, when we were in Denver together, this was a friend, that you thought we were boyfriend and girlfriend? I said, what the fuck kind of question is that? Yes, we were holding hands, we were together, we were in a relationship, we were looking at houses, we were doing all this stuff in Denver. Why wouldn't I think that? I distinctly recall us sitting back and me going, man, I would live here. I can see us raising a family here, us having these hypothetical conversations, all this stuff.
And last but not least, you didn't ask to break up, you motherfucker.
Yes.
You asked me back together and you didn't break up with me. So what the fuck else was I supposed to think?
And then you broke up with me after. That means that we were together before we broke
you
up.
Had you to break
fucking
up with me.
You had to
because
break up
that was
with
a relationship to break up from.
You had to break up with me.
And then
you didn't just assume.
And then this
they were together in June, but you, me, and him were sitting in your fucking apartment talking about life, bro. That nigga was your nigga.
We were talking about being together, me giving these accolades like, yo, I know sometimes I'm crazy. Not crazy. I even said, I know sometimes like I get in my head, I have anxiety. I remember saying that, like, it's hard for me to talk about certain things, but I am grateful for the fact that you're understanding. Grateful for the fact I remember that conversation. Yes. And yes. Afterwards, he pulled me to the side. He said, yo, everything you said meant so much to me.
I looked at my Instagram story recently. That was 9 weeks ago.
It was It was in the same time. It was the same, exact same. Remember when he popped up on the fucking picnic? I think he had already been fucking her.
And that was the same day. That was the day of the picnic.
I think either that or it was that right was in afterwards.
June. That was late June. So that was when we went for Queen's thing.
So it's all these things where it's just like nothing that you can say is the equivalent to, even if you're saying, yo, this relationship was not working
until we are fucking not together, leave. Nigga.
We are together, and that's just basic logic, you illogical ass motherfucker. So we're having this conversation on the phone, and he's like, "Oh, I just assumed that you didn't want to be with me anymore."
Shut the fuck up.
He said, "I remember the last time we broke up. You were so scared to break up with me." Yeah, because I didn't want to fucking lose you, my nigga. And I didn't want to break up with you even when we were having this conversation. I wanted you to fight for it. I was like, yo, this is crazy. You're like, yeah, that is crazy. I guess we're going to break up. And I was like, oh shit, I guess we're broken up now. But in this, I'm like sitting here like, if I wanted to break up with you this time, I would have. We had so
many. I'm a human and I'm an adult and I know how to communicate.
So it was just this like, and I kept in a conversation. I don't know if I even mentioned this, but when we first started, me and Bryce was in a relationship already. So that was me playing that role, knowing this stuff, knowing the place that I was in. And I admit that I was one of them bitches was like, I could do better and this, that, and the fourth. Like, oh, he's not in a good situation. It'll absolve. And then we'll take our time. He was really like, I don't want to get into another relationship. We didn't jump into anything soon. It took a long time before we even said anything official after that. But I understand the role that she was trying to play, that cute little shit, whatever. So I even said on the phone, I was like, this is all you know how to do. You don't even know how to process your own shit, my nigga. All you do is jump into next thing, because all you can do is escape. Revolted. You run when shit gets hard. Yes, our relationship at the time, it was not fucking sweet.
That's not relationships, because we were talking about real shit.
I was holding him accountable for real shit. And it was like, I still want to be with you. Every time we have this conversation, yes, but there are certain things that you do that you're not changing that any other person would flip their shit about. But me trying to be the fucking cool girl about you disappearing for 24 hours at a time and coming back, you can come back. Come back and be like, yo, I'm sorry that I didn't get the chance to communicate with you. Because it's not like I wasn't texting you. It's not like I wasn't going like, yo, where you at? You coming back on some, yo, what's up, bro? Fuck you mean? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Hey. You know what I mean? It's so infuriating, and I spent so much time, more than I'd like to admit afterwards, blaming myself. Sitting here thinking, if I had done this, if I had been a little more attentive, if towards the end, when he finally started inviting me to shit, and I should have just been like, yes, let me go. Even though when I was hearing it, it felt disingenuous. I was being true to myself and saying, I don't want to go to this thing where you're just half-ass inviting me, and then what if I get there and you just fucking leave me? Right. Or some shit like that, because you didn't really want me to be there in the first place. So I even opened up to him, and I said, you know what? It's going to take a lot for me to heal, because hearing you say this makes me feel like you don't actually want to do this, and I just want to figure out like if you're really being serious. I spend a lot of time reevaluating and thinking to myself, if there was something that I could have done differently, would have not ended up this way. And honest to God, it would have ended up this way no matter what.
Yeah,
that's all he knows how to do.
All he knows how to do is escape.
What a pathetic sack of shit.
And it 100%,
I know that you're still hurting,
yeah,
but I am so glad that this nigga is not with you anymore, because he is disgusting.
He does not deserve you.
He doesn't deserve a good person, he does not deserve a friendship.
He doesn't deserve to know you, he doesn't deserve to breathe the same air, he deserves exactly what's coming.
Oh, you know, we wasn't even together anymore. This nigga fucking applied to your job to be with you, bro. That is a life-changing job. A flight attendant is a life-changing job, and he followed after you because he doesn't even have his fucking own goals and life fucking ideas and career spans. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
I pushed for him to go back to school. I helped him apply for it. He dropped out of school and said nothing to me.
That's what we do. I'm not gonna hold you up. That's what we do. Because while
that's true.
Me and Rebecca have very similar wild trauma, right? Yeah. So now we in ourselves, we can't help it sometimes. Yeah. But to fix niggas. Yep. But let me tell you this. They get to a point where you don't do that shit no more. Once you realize that you start doing that shit, you're like, okay, cool. Either you're going to do these, because then the thing is you try to fix these niggas and they don't do that shit anyway.
Yeah. Niggas will so really like, hear good advice and be like, oh, nah.
That's what happened at the end of our relationship. Yeah. And that's why I think it hit a turning, it hit the point where he was like, I'm going to find somebody else who's going to nurture me and do all this type
who's
of stuff.
Who's
going to
baby me?
Because towards the end, I started fucking going like, I'm not doing this anymore.
But Bryce is actually the bottom of the barrel.
Facts.
Like, there's no, like, that's just a bad person.
Nigga, why the fuck would he,
why would you do that to anybody? But why would he do that to you?
The per and I yo when I say
you're
to
a
you,
fucking sociopath, I remember bro. You're like literally a monster.
I was like, yo, I wanted to be in an open relationship. Like,
that's,
I
remember,
that's another part of it. That's another part of it. That's another thing about it. Yeah.
I wanted to have this communication. If he's just like, disgusting.
I was like, it wasn't like a need that needs to be filled, fulfilled, no, or anything like that. He's literally
wants
just
to
disgusting.
Be disgusting.
Yeah, you want to be nasty, so now we're gonna talk about you like fucking nasty, nigga. Yeah,
all these
you're not gonna smile in our face. You're not gonna have a whole fucking conversation about how much you love Rebecca in her apartment and then be cheating on her with fucking your boss, nigga. That don't make no fucking sense.
I think
you're crazy. You're actually out of your mind.
Especially when you had the chance.
You had the chance.
You asked to get back together with this bitch. Are you kidding me?
You had the chance. Why did you come back?
Why? Because
you're crazy. You came back.
You.
We're trying to sit here and process the shit that we're going through. And like, it's like once it got hard and it was like, wait, you're trying to hold me accountable for shit that I did to you. Nah, I don't want that. And that's exactly what it was. And it was just like, it takes a lot for me to even be like, yo, like for real, like, I don't like the way you're treating me. I don't like the fact that I feel second guessing. Like, we're sitting in the fucking car and you're like, yeah, I'm going to this fete.
I wasn't asking for much, bro.
You should ask for much if you want much. That's but I'm fact. The type of bitch who don't ask for. I want you to just fucking be there. I want to feel. I want to feel fucking valued,
no,
like any nigga.
You don't want your nigga to disappear. Nobody fucking disappears.
Niggas
literally
disappear.
No, but like my realest niggas back. Do not disappear.
Facts.
Nobody
when
fucking
they disappear,
disappears.
Automatic red flag that these niggas are doing wild, stupid, sus shit that they can't even be fucking thug enough to just keep it above.
Exactly.
About. Exactly. There's no, there is
it's
no
only whack
reason.
Niggas who disappear.
There's no reason to do it.
And then
there's literally no
the,
reason to it.
Being
unless
on the
you're
phone
just fucking wild.
Exactly.
Being on the phone with him is just like, I felt like I didn't know who the fuck I was talking to.
No,
I didn't know who I was talking to.
No, that was exactly that nigga
that
you
nigga.
Was
he took
on.
All the masks.
Yeah, that nigga took
off all the masks.
And you're right. You did not know that nigga. You did not
know that
nigga.
Nobody knows
that
nigga.
Nigga.
Nobody
we don't
knows
know
that nigga.
She don't even know that
phone.
Nigga.
I know, since I've been there, even if she knew you're with someone, I'm bet she was under the impression like they don't even talk to each other, they don't do nothing like that. I'm here to let you know, whoever's listening, that nigga was still talking about getting married to the last day, to the very last minute. We're doing this, that, and the fourth. It was never any inclination that either one of us was gonna break up. So the lies that he was telling you about, oh, we haven't been good since this, that, and the fourth, nah, we
complete
was working on it.
Lies.
Just telling me, he was telling
lies.
Me to meet his mom's. I was gonna meet
I
his
mean,
mom.
You
he
got
met
back
my
together
mom,
in May,
told
bro.
My mom that we were gonna
Did
get
you
married.
Did you not get back together
we got
in
together
May?
In May?
And they've been together since June.
Yeah, we was fucking all that.
Something doesn't
all
add
it.
Up,
it's
bro.
A lie. He's lying to you. And I said it to her. I said she's lying to you. But that's the thing. It don't matter. It doesn't matter once you're in it. Good luck. What has been able to help me process it more and more is I don't really even think he knew me or liked me or even knew how to. I don't think he valued me in any way. And that's the thing. I am valuable. So if you didn't fucking see that, that's your business.
Your
I think
problem.
To myself,
lost.
The fucking, when I was smoking, the times that he'd be like, oh, that's not true. You shouldn't be smoking. Now you're with a pothead. Now you smoking. You so, it's so fucking.
Corny.
He's
corny.
Smoking.
Oh, that's what men do. Ooh, they
and then
do that
then you
shit.
You telling me, oh, that's not true. Why are you smoking? Doing that stuff? You with a fucking pothead right now.
But you corny. Know, this nigga doesn't have anything of himself because he chose your career path,
he's
like,
bro. Literally is a leech. He goes, I like that.
Takes people
I'm gonna
do
that.
Nothing.
He's a chameleon.
You are just, nothing.
Just,
you're nothing.
Attaches the environment and just changes.
Yo, all right. Off rip.
Go ahead.
This nigga's just trash. Like, he is the epitome of trash. There literally is nothing else to it. And I can't wait for the day that you are really, truly able to look back and every time, not summertime, every time you were able to look back and go, it had nothing to do with me.
Thank you.
And you were just completely fucking free. And you are learning to either love yourself the way you want to be loved or have somebody loving you the way you want to be loved. Because that shit is going to happen.
That's
and
a
this,
fact.
And you're going to be kind of grateful. It's fucked up. But everything happens for a reason. Truly, everything happens for a reason. And it's better that this happened now, especially when you were young and you had nothing attached to this nigga. There are no kids or no house.
You don't have a
no
baby
nothing.
By that nigga.
Yes. All you do is leave.
The baby would be great, it would be a beautiful baby, but more than likely you'd be alone.
So it's best that like it happened while you were young and while you were free and you have no attachments. If you want to block this,
you don't
nigga
have to
100%,
pay a divorce lawyer, bro.
Nothing.
Those niggas are expensive.
People will go through divorces for years.
Yeah.
Cause he be the type of nigga
because they're like, I don't have it.
He be the type of nigga to never sign the fucking papers. He be that nigga to still be dating other people and tell people that he's single and never divorce you. That's the kind of nigga that is. So it's really truly best because I guarantee you will never be in that situation again. All it takes is
now
one time.
Now you know. Now you know.
Because how
all
how,
the red flags
you don't know
I ignored,
what you don't know.
All the red flags I ignored. I felt it, the inclination. Now I.
But he
I
also
know.
Gaslit you through yeah, those flags.
He gaslit me the whole fucking time. Yeah. It's all been a gaslight. It's all been just to feed himself. I don't know what kind of fucking sick, twisted game it is, but it was never about me.
He's a sociopath.
It was never about me.
I'm a
it
man
was...
of Christ. Fuck you,
fuck
nigga.
Remember yeah.
that shit? Fuck
Remember
you,
that
nigga.
Shit?
He disgusts me, son. I quit smoking at one point in time. Every time I was drinking, I... Don't get me wrong. I be getting drunk, son.
Yeah,
but
you
at
do.
The same... Shut up. But at the same time, like, afterwards, let me have my fucking moment where I was like, yo, let me self-regulate. I've gotten better with that on my own shit because I'm like, damn, bitch, you wildin'. But... The way that he would just be like
his
so
self-righteousness.
His self-righteousness.
This nigga's out here cheating on every girlfriend he's ever had.
Self-righteous
quite literally.
Where he would just quite like, literally. If he was around my family, oh, your family's a little loud. We had an argument because of the fact that he was just like, oh, I don't know if I want to be around your family because they're a little loud and a little out there, like sexual or whatever.
Oh, what?
Very self-righteous. Very self-righteous. I'm like,
you're
I'm sitting
cheater.
Here like, then all of a sudden you can be a smoker. When you want to be loud, I remember towards the end you was pumping the music and I was looking at you like, who are you? When I want to sit here
a
and play
chameleon.
Music, because you want to do whatever somebody else wants to do when it's
girlfriend.
Convenient. He was emulating the fuck out of his new girlfriend.
He's a mirror.
That's all it is.
Okay, he's not a person. He's not a real person.
He don't even know what he's fucking.
He's a fucking Russian AI.
He is artificial intelligence.
This thing is not real. And that's it. Like, that's it.
We're talking about nothing right now.
You can literally go on for hours and hours about everything that this nigga's done. And it always goes back to the same point that this nigga is literally not a real person.
Because why would you do it? If you were an actual human being with actual sense, why would you do it?
Why would you do it?
He's a literal a bag of trash. And you dated a bag of trash, and we all do.
It'd be like that.
We hate you.
And now we're going to keep it pushing. And we're going to do what we have to do. We're going to be successful. We're going to get this fucking capitalistic coin. We're going to do this fucking popping ass podcast and blow up. And we're going to make it do what it do. And we're going to capitalize off of you.
That's a fact.
Because we finna make a threat
if
about
you. If
you
love this episode, raise your hand right now.
And you know
if
what?
If this reminds you of your fucking artificial intelligent ass, whack ass nigga X ass,
skirt.
Raise your fucking hand.
And
that's it.
What's your Cash App?
Oh, Rebby or not?
Yes, Rebby or
Rebby
not.
Rebby or not. That
put
will
some
be in
cash
the episode
in that
description.
App because no, because we out here supporting our bitches. You feel me?
That's
like,
and
this
that's
is
the last
it.
Time your ass is going to be fucking mentioned at length on this
that's
show.
Because
ain't
nobody
it.
Giving you no fucking time no more after this,
that's
nigga.
That's it.
So end game. Day. And you, a fine, bad bitch, intelligent, degrees on deck, job pumping, about to get into a new fucking apartment.
You look good.
You look good.
Funny as fuck.
Mad fucking
the
funny.
Fuck?
And yo, just research the shit out of a fucking ex-boyfriend
nice
episode.
As hell.
Like, come on,
a
my
good
nigga.
Friend.
The best
a
hostess.
Good
like, come on, my
Everything.
Nigga. Fuck out of here. You're absolutely it, bitch. And either you gonna learn to love it or somebody else is going to learn to help you learn to love it. And that's it.
That's it.
Fuck out of here. Fuck these niggas, bitch. I love
Period.
You. The
I
fuck?
Love all of y'all.
I too love you.
This room is filled with love, y'all. Yes, if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by using the. You can do so by going on Inner Hole Uprising on Twitter without the G and Inner Hole Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. InnerHoleUprising.com to pay a hole or to check out our merchandise. And. If you would like to follow this heartbroken, but getting better
but
ass
healing.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Yes, healing.
Healing.
I'm still
lifting up.
We can still fuck.
Thriving.
Don't worry about that. That's not a problem.
Pussy
my
still,
pussy
still
work.
Pussy still popping.
All right. You can follow me at The Darkest Timeline. I'm trying to get on Twitter so you can do Rebby or not as well on there.
Yo,
but
yo, Rebecca's the funniest nigga on earth. Please follow Rebecca on Twitter.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Oh, Tumblr is no need to make believe. I'm actually on there because once I get in my bag, that's where I go back
nigga
over there.
Said,
so
I hate men.
Yep. No need to make believe. That's that content right there on Tumblr.
No need to make believe because we are in the darkest timeline. Yo, my name is Rob the God. I am Rob the _ God on Twitter. I am Clint.
Clint, we have a new Instagram name, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I even say it without crying?
I don't know. I can do it for you.
Let's try
it.
I can do it. On Instagram, I'm Clint.
I'm going to give you one more try.
I'm Clint.Yeet.
Clint.Yeetwood. Like, like Clint Eastwood, but Yeet.
Yeet. Oh my god, this shit is. I got to get some buzz. It was Clint.Yeetwood, but I was like, nah. Y'all niggas, y'all my yeasty boy, but anyway. And if you want to follow my Instagram, teeming with coffee things now that I won this latte art competition.
That's good.
I'm still crying. It's Vanta.Black with a Q. Goodbye.
You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter, though I'm never there.
free smoke. Hey, bye niggas.
I didn't do mine.
Oh shit.
I'm weak, bro. But you take me for fool.
You take me for.
I'm Slamrid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego on Instagram for travel and food photos. Goodbye.
Bye.
Fuck your ex, nigga.